Today is March 4th, year 2007, the second Sunday in Lent. We're going to make a short comment upon my sermon last week, in which I talked about how our flesh has not yet benefited from the redemption, and that concupiscence of our flesh, and that the devil has still power over our flesh, although if we're in a state of grace, which we hope we are, he does not have. And by the way, devils cannot possess souls anyway. When a person is possessed, it's only the body they possess. God never allows the devil to possess a soul. But when your soul's not in a state of grace, it's in the dominion of the devil. But even saints whose souls are in a state of grace, their flesh is still in the dominion of Satan. He has a special power because they have not yet benefited from the redemption. That's called concupiscence. Some heretics taught that the very temptation is a sin. That the very fact that you're tempted is a sin. And that's not what St. Paul meant. And St. Paul was talking about the concupiscence. There's a struggle in his flesh that is trying to incline him to sin, that is asking him to sin, that is pulling him to sin. And he's not saying that is sin. Now, St. Paul may have also said at times he has consented to that pull and committed venial sins or faults. But in St. Paul's, there's no indication of mortal sins here on St. Paul's part. But it's not impossible that that can happen. That it happens to a lot of people. They give into the concupiscence of the flesh, and it does lead them into sin. All right, so that's just from last week. Now, we're going to give our little news commentary here before we get on with the main part of our sermon. Yet again, another blasphemy against our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ on national TV, NBC, on Monday night, February 26th. I don't know what the time, it was on the regular national newscast. So this went out throughout the whole nation. Now, you remember what I was telling you last week about how the Jews, you can't even doubt the Holocaust. You didn't even come out and say, I just question the Holocaust. So certain things, or talk against homosexuals, that God condemns homosexuality, and that God condemns homosexuals, and that if they die, that they're going to go to hell. All these things you're not allowed to talk about anymore, about women have to stay home and take care of the kids. So we're not going to repeat that the Jews and the Masons have their agenda, and there's things you're forbidden to talk about. But guess what? You're not forbidden to blaspheme Jesus. As I always say, that is the order of the day. As a matter of fact, they love to blaspheme our Lord and Savior. It's the days of the Antichrist. Who can doubt that we're not in these days? The title of the short 5-minute segment was The Tomb of Jesus. And they had these morons on here, these Hollywood directors, and they had a couple scientists that had PhDs from perverted universities come up to back up their find that we found the tomb of Jesus, we have his ashes or his bones, and he never really crucified, he was never crucified, and I don't know where they said they found him, which proves that Da Vinci Code heretic, abominable blasphemer, that said Jesus never died on the cross, that he lived, he married Mary Magdalene, and he had children, which is an utter, total abomination and blasphemy. That guy should be boycotted by every Catholic in the world. That guy should be ousted if it was a Catholic state. He'd be hung up on the stake and we'd burn. It's not a Catholic state, so we can't do that. But we can certainly boycott him. We can certainly do everything in our power to make that guy's life miserable. And if you had him in your presence, maybe take a swipe or two at him. You know, who knows? By God's inspiration. You know? But point is, that blasphemy now is in the public domain. They now had this show to support his blasphemous book. And they, of course, they have their scientists up there. And they're going, and the scientists say, well, people shouldn't be... Here's what the guy said, the Jewish producer. He goes, well, people shouldn't be afraid of this evidence. If it's true, let the truth speak for itself. Well, what about the Jewish Holocaust? What about the Holocaust? They won't even let you doubt it or deny it or present your case in public. I say the same thing about that. Well, if the Holocaust during World War II is true, and you got nothing to worry about, let us present our facts and let the facts lie where they may. But we're not even allowed to utter it in public. But they can blaspheme Jesus in public and say it's all in the cause of truth. All we care about is the truth. They don't care about the truth. It's hogwash what they're presenting. It's a big lie. And they have all their PhD guys come up and saying, well, it seems to be true, and they're dusting off the tomb, like they're taking these little tests, and the one, they have a guy there, like they go to a laboratory, and he has a little piece of a chunk of something, who knows what it is, and he goes, we're investigating the DNA now, and he's putting it in the test tube. We're investigating the DNA, and it looks like it's Jesus, you know? And, okay, some idiots across the country are looking at that and go, hey, Jesus, it must be true, you know? But the point is that this made it on national TV. It's a blasphemy, attack against our holy Catholic religion and against Jesus Christ, and they get away with this week after week after week after week, but you cannot say anything against their agenda, Talmudic Judaism, Zionism. You can't speak anything against their Holocaust. You're not even allowed to have it on TV. So what you're looking at here is the reign of the Antichrist, which is right around the corner. He's already got his minions doing all this work for him. So again, I tell you people, wake up. This stuff is an abomination. All right, if we had more Catholics coming into the church, we only have a handful now, a few that I know of, but if we did, boy, we would make a ruckus. I'd have all kinds of stuff. I'm reading a book on that now called A Catholic's Duty in Captivity. We would protest this guy's house. We would flood him with emails. We would flood him with mail. We would make this guy's life miserable. Miserable. And we would protest NBC. We would close down their lines. We would tell them, you keep this stuff off here. We would boycott. We would do all kinds of things. We would go down to the White House if we have to and say, we're sick and tired of blasphemies against Jesus Christ. All right, you're supposed to care about toleration and freedom and respect. How come when it comes to Catholicism, you have no respect at all? Now, as I say, we don't believe in equality and respect of false religions. We condemn them. But the point is, they're being hypocrites. They're the ones that are espousing this freedom of expression and respect. But when it comes to Christ, he's blasphemed everywhere. You go say one thing against the Talmudic Jew, and they're going to hit you with anti-Semitism. Mel Gibson comes out with a movie that accurately describes the Gospels, and the Jews pipe up, and that movie's not even placed on any one of the public networks. They would not put the Passion on TV, but they put this crap on that says Jesus was not crucified, he didn't die on the cross, and that he had children, and that he was a sham phony liar. But they can do that. All right, so that happened on Monday night. And coming up next week, another blasphemy against Jesus. I just caught this on in between the newscast. It was called, I don't even know what the show is, but it's called The Outsiders, and it's Tuesday at 9 p.m., and it's about this guy that's running around who says he's Jesus Christ. And he's preaching to people. He looks like one of these charismatic Protestants or something, you know, and he's walking around like with a lavender shirt on. The guy's entering and he goes, hey, would Jesus wear a lavender shirt? He goes, why not? Lavender's a cool color, you know, stuff like that. And what is that? That's an insult, a smack in the face against the true Jesus. Here you are taking this clown up here saying he's Jesus Christ, and you're putting it on national TV. Another blasphemy against Jesus. But this is going to lead into my sermon in a way, in a true kind of a way. We know that's a blasphemy, but you may sit back and say to yourself, how could a guy actually believe he's Jesus Christ? I mean, how could you be so deluded because Jesus claims to be God? And I want to see if this guy really actually claims to be God, too, because Jesus is God. But it can happen, and it has happened. The Roman emperors declared themselves to be divine. Nero, he said, the divine Nero. He believed he was God. Now, you may ask, how can somebody believe they're God when they know that they get sick, they know that they're going to die, that they know that they can't get and do whatever they want? How can someone really believe he's God? How can you be that perverse? Well, when you become darkened because of sin, because you sin against God so grievously, God puts you under an operation of error and you become stupid. You really begin to believe things that are absolutely outrageous. Either you are God or you can become like God. And who does that remind you of? Lucifer. And this was the topic of my sermon anyway, but this thing happens to fit. Because Brother Will and I spoke about this several times. How could it be that Lucifer thought he could be God when he knew God? I mean, thought he could actually be God. You're going to learn about how he thought that, why he thought that. And the point is, that thought doesn't come into your mind until you're already fallen from grace. Until you're already sinned so grievously against God that you become a stupid idiot, really. You become a dope. You begin to fantasize about things that are even not reasonable. When you're not right with God. And God puts you under that thing because of your pride, and that's what happened to Lucifer. Then he began to think, after he fell from grace, that he really either was God or could become God. You say, how can it happen? Look at the Roman emperors who proclaimed themselves to be God. Look at Nero. Look at this guy you're going to look at Tuesday night who says he's Jesus Christ. You know, I have to go up and punch him in the face and let him believe. I mean, make yourself unbelievable. Tell me some prophecies. Heal the sick. Raise up the dead. Jesus proved who he was through his mission. You know, so he came prepared, you know. But we know this guy. Of course, he's not Christ, but he thinks he is. How could that happen? When a guy, he knows he's immortal. You know, how could Nero claim himself to be God? How could some of these Roman emperors that one day weren't God, and I think Diocletian, and one day claims himself to be God? How could you go from being a human? Because see, what are we learning here? Lucifer really thought either he was God or that he can become God. And that there's a point where he does become God. So it's not... It is unreasonable. It's totally unreasonable. It's stupid. It's the most stupidest thing you can ever do. But it shows you how stupid people become when they commit such bad sins against God and because of pride, they start to babble out their most stupidity. Look at all these smart people that we've seen, that we know about in the traditional movement have become absolutely babbling idiots. If you look at some of the stuff they're really doing in their private life and the things that they speak and the things that they believe, you don't even realize. Mm-hmm. They don't understand that without the faith, you can't have a legal mass and you can't have a worthy mass. You're sinning against God, reception of Holy Communion. So it's like when we show dogmas to people, going, if I left anything out here that's not clear as a daylight. So we're talking, when people are under this veil of darkness, the operation of error, they do not see the clear truth. They become stupid and foolish. Now, what we're going to read about here relates to what we've been talking about in the past weeks also, because we're talking about the devils and their effect and their powers and their ways and their manipulations of human beings in this world. And we said that the devils are mankind's worst enemies. But we're going to explain now the fall of the devils when they were in heaven and how they fell from heaven and went into hell, earth, and then into hell. And we're going to explain what led to that, how they fell from grace in heaven, how Lucifer fell, and how the fallen angels fell. So we're going to talk about that. We're going to take you into heaven, and we're going to put you at that period of time and show you what happened in heaven and the reason Lucifer fell from heaven and all that the fallen angels went with him. That's what we're going to talk about. Now, I'm going to be reading from my book, Mary, God's Masterpiece and Lucifer's Fall, and this is really a continuation from the sermon I gave. This is from the first Sunday of Advent, 2006, Sermon 53 AS. This is a continuation of that. I'm reading the very next section on that, which I promised to do it a couple weeks after that. I never got to it. Now, it's appropriate for me to do that so you can understand the mechanism of what Lucifer did in heaven. And it's the same thing men do, too, against God on earth. So I'm quoting from the chapter titled, Lucifer Wanted to Be God's Primary Thought Creature. And we know Mary is God's primary creature and masterpiece. But Lucifer wanted to be that. We start out with the subtitle, God Did Not Create Evil. God created all things perfect without the least defect or fault. Quote, the works of God are perfect. Deuteronomy 32:4. Paradise, the Garden of Eden, was made perfect. And it was God's will that it should remain that way and eventually be united to his heavenly kingdom. Creatures, angels and men, abusing their free will, rebelled against God, which brought evil and death into God's created universe. And we're going to quote several scriptures on this. Ecclesiastes 7:30. God made man right, and he hath entangled himself. We'll give you the verses at the end of it. That was Ecclesiastes 7:30. What is more wicked than that which flesh and blood hath invented? Ecclesiasticus 17:30. For God created man incorruptible, and to the image of his own likeness he made him. But by the envy of the devil, death came into the world, and they follow him that are of his side. Wisdom 2:23-25. For God made not death, neither hath he pleasure in the destruction of the living. For he created all things that they might be, and he made the nations of the earth for health. And there is no poison or destruction in them, nor kingdom of hell upon the earth. But the wicked, with works and words, have called it to them, and esteeming it a friend, have fallen away, and have made a covenant with it, because they are worthy to be the part thereof. Wisdom 1:13-16. The holy prophet Ezekiel tells us the great gifts God had given Lucifer, making him perfect. We read of Lucifer's original greatness, and then his pride that caused him to think that he could be like God, which led to his fall. Quote, the beginning of the pride of man or angel is a fall off from God. Ecclesiasticus 10:14. And now we're reading from Ezekiel chapter 28, verse 12-17. Thus saith the Lord God, thou wast the seal of resemblance, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Speaking of Lucifer when he was in heaven. Thou wast in the pleasures of the paradise of God. Every precious stone was thy covering, the sardius, the topaz, and the jasper, the chrysolite and the onyx, and the beryl, the sapphire and the carbuncle, and the emerald, gold, the work of thy beauty, and the pipes and thy pipes were prepared in the day that thou wast created. Thou a cherub, stretched out and protecting. I set thee in the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day of thy creation until iniquity was found in thee. But the multitude of thy merchandise and thy inner parts were filled with iniquity. And thou hast sinned and I have cast thee out from the mountain of God and destroyed thee, O covering cherub, out of the midst of the stones of fire. And thy heart was lifted up with thy beauty. Thou hast lost thy wisdom in thy beauty. I have cast thee to the ground. So we see here that God first made him perfect, and it was Lucifer who became bad by rebelling against God, taking his free will and saying, no, God, I will not obey you. That's how evil comes into the universe and sin. Don't anybody ever dare say God created evil or sin. If they did, he's an abominable apostate blasphemer, which is what you hear today. God created homos. God created all kinds of evil. You're hearing that all over the place. No, he didn't. He created everything perfect, and the reason evil came into the world is because angels and men, abusing their free will, chose not to obey God's commandments. And that's where evil comes from. We just read it right here. Lucifer abused the gifts God had given him, taking himself, thinking of himself more than he was. Lucifer, upon his creation, knew that God was God, as did all the angels. Lucifer believed in God. But this alone was not enough. We read in James 2:19, thou believest there is one God? Thou dost well. The devils also believe and tremble. There was a work to be done by the angels, a test to prove if they were worthy to remain in heaven. Quote, But wilt thou know, O vain man or angel, that faith without works is dead? James 2:26. It applies to angels too. There's a work they had to do. Faith in God alone wasn't enough. They had to prove that their faith was genuine by actual works. The angels had to love and obey God. A child believes his father is his father and his mother is his mother, but that does not mean he will love and obey them. Lucifer's sin, then, was disobedience to God by not submitting to and obeying Mary, God's masterpiece. Mary was to be placed over Lucifer and all the angels as the crowning glory of God's, all of God's creation. This Lucifer did not accept. He wanted to be number one instead of Mary. The root cause of his disobedience to God was a sin of pride that caused him to covet and envy Mary. Lucifer abused his free will and thought himself more than he actually was. Lucifer disobeyed God by not obeying Mary due to his sin of pride. Immediately after he committed this sin, God took away grace from Lucifer and his intellect became darkened. A veil of darkness fell upon him. Quote, because that when they knew God, they have not glorified him as God or given thanks, but became vain in their thoughts, and their foolish heart was darkened. Romans 1:21. St. Paul's teaching this about human beings. It's the same thing. It's the exact same thing as what Lucifer did in heaven. The minute he, out of his pride and envy, he committed that sin, he fell from grace immediately, and all of a sudden his whole intellect became darkened. He becomes really stupid. Now in darkness, Lucifer questioned, if God is really God. His darkened thought was that if God was truly God, why would he choose a lowly human as his crowning glory? And worse, why would he submit himself to a human and take on her flesh? We will read that angels were placed above humans, but nevertheless, God the Son would humbly become a human and submit himself to humans, to surprise of even humans. We quote, for God hath not subjected unto angels the world to come, whereof we speak, but one in a certain place hath testified, saying, that what is man, that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man, that thou visitest him? Thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, thou hast crowned him with glory and honor, hast set him over the works of thy hands. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, for nowhere doth he take hold of the angels, but the seed of Abraham he has taken hold of. And this is a great amazement, because the angels are greater than us in their intellect and their power and all those, the gifts. So that when Jesus came down and took on the flesh of a human being, they said, wow, what is man that thou should condescend to us and take on our flesh? It was a stupendous thing. But God was teaching the angels humility. It's a great lesson. He was teaching them that your greatness doesn't depend on how smart you are or how powerful you are, but in humility. So God was teaching the angels humility. And so this was a great surprise to them all. And of course, it was not only a surprise to Lucifer, it's one he didn't like. The other ones didn't question it because it was God's will. But Lucifer got jealous. We're going to read that. And that quote I just read for you was from Hebrews chapter 2, verse 5 to 9 and verse 16. In his darkness, Lucifer perceived God's plan to take on human nature in the womb of Mary and exalt her over all the angels as a weakness His jealousy was primarily against Mary, and then against all humans, because God was to become a human being. Lucifer then thought either God was not God, or there was a God above him that he did not know about, or he thought God was God, but he was losing his power, was devolving, while Lucifer was evolving and can become, if not God, at least like God, having full power over all creatures in creation. The Word of God tells us Lucifer's sin of pride led him to believe he could become like God. Isaiah 14:11-15, talking about Lucifer. Thy pride is brought down to hell, thy carcass is fallen down, under thee shall the moth be strewn, and the worm shall be thy covering. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, who didst rise in the morning, and thou settest in thy heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit in the mountain of the covenant and the sides of the north. I will ascend above the height of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. But yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, into the depth of the pit. Isaiah, prophet Isaiah. Now what he's saying right there is, Lucifer actually believed he can become God, become just like God, and he says, I will become like the Most High. And St. Michael the Archangel, who was the one who led the faithful angels in casting Lucifer out of heaven, his name means, who is like unto God. Because that was his response to Lucifer. Who is like unto God, that don't make himself out to be equal to God or God himself? Silence your mouth, you blasphemer. And the battle began. And that's why Michael's name is, who is like unto God. Now right here, you're already getting the darkened thought of Lucifer. Nero, who goes from one day to being a man to the next day to thinking he's God, and has himself declared throughout Rome that he is God. This devil on Tuesday night is going to say he's Jesus Christ. How does a guy become so stupid? How did Lucifer become so stupid? Because when you sin, no matter how much raw knowledge you have in your mind, you lose wisdom. You really become stupid and irrational. So now we read on. In his darkened state, Lucifer actually thought that he was better and stronger than God, either because he thought God was not really God, or God was not all-powerful, almighty. St. Michael the Archangel's battle cry and rebuke against Lucifer was, who is like unto God? Countering Lucifer's darkened thought that he can become like God. In other words, St. Michael said, how dare you think you are like unto God? You a mere creature like the rest of us. How dare you rebel against God, who gave us all these wonderful gifts? Yea, he gave us life itself. How dare you, who were but nothing before God created you, rebel against the Almighty, all-knowing, all-loving, all-good, all-generous, and all-kind God? The evil king Antiochus, who greatly persecuted the faithful Jews in the time of the Maccabees, was a type of Lucifer. As Lucifer was a proud angel beyond measure, leaving the station God has assigned him, so also Antiochus was a proud man beyond measure, who left his station, both acting as if they were God. And this Antiochus, as you know, is a prefigurement of the Antichrist. And we're going to read about that now in 2 Maccabees, chapter 9, verse 8 through 13. Thus he, Antiochus, that seemed to himself to command even the waves of the sea, being proud above the condition of man, and to weigh the heights of the mountains in a balance, now being cast down to the ground, was carried in a litter, bearing witness to the manifest power of God in himself. So that worms swarmed out of the body of this man, and whilst he lived in sorrow and pain, his flesh fell off, and the filthiness of his smell was noisome to the army. And the man that thought a little before he could reach to the stars of heaven, and he actually had himself, by the way, proclaimed as God, as a God, on earth, and everyone had to worship him alone. And now you're looking at what happened to him when he fell, the result of his great crime. And we know Lucifer was sent to hell because of his, and this guy also, after he died. But you're looking about how God punished him even on earth. And they're going, and the man that thought a little before he could reach to the stars of heaven, no man could endure to carry for the intolerable stench. And by this means, being brought from his great pride, he began to come to the knowledge of himself, being admonished by the scourge of God, his pains increasing every moment. And when he himself could not now abide by his own stench, he spoke thus, it is just to be subject to God, and that a mortal man should not equal himself to God, nor an angel in heaven. that this wicked man prayed to the Lord, of whom he was not likely to obtain mercy, and he did not obtain mercy. God let him die in his sin and go to hell. Because it was not a good motive, that repentance there. But the point was being made, before God punished him, he really thought he was God. And you're going to read, this relates to how we go on in here, how Lucifer, we're now at the period of time where he just rebelled against God by disobeying Mary, because he didn't want to obey Mary, and because of pride, and because he disobeyed God by not obeying Mary, and by not giving first honor and first veneration to Mary as God's greatest creature. He committed his sin because of pride and envy. His intellect became darkened. He's now he's still in heaven now. He's thinking that he is God, or he can become like God. And either God's not God, or God is devolving, or there's another God he doesn't know about, but he's trying to become God. That's established fact. That's where we are in his mind. But you're going to read, he ends up like Antiochus. He knows it now. And we're going to read that as we go on. Lucifer's root sin was pride that caused him to disobey God. While knowing God is God, he disobeyed God when he knew God was God. When God said, Mary is my highest elevated creature, and all the angels and all men have to obey her and are underneath her, and she's my number one creation. He knew God was God at that moment. It's only after he got that command from God and went, I ain't going to do that. He became jealous. Then he became darkened. So this caused him to lose grace, and thus his mind became darkened, so that he now doubted if God really is God. This led Lucifer to his next step, to directly challenge God. Lucifer, in ignorance due to his sin, plotted to conquer God. He had not yet experienced God's full power, because until then God had never punished nor chastised any of his creatures. God had no reason to be wrathful. God, by his very nature, is loving and kind and does not punish unless there is a just reason. Quote, "For God made not death, neither hath he pleasure in the destruction of the living, for he created all things that they might be." Wisdom 1, 13-14. Chastisement is not what the nature of God inclines him to. God, because by his nature he is infinite goodness, says St. Leo, has no other desire than to bless us and to see us happy. When he punishes, he is obliged to do so in order to satisfy his justice, not to gratify his inclination. He doesn't take pleasure in it. He does that out of pure sense of justice, and to save those goodwill people who these people are abusing. Any parent that loves, at least even claims to love their children, knows that when they punish them, it's because the child has done something wrong, or they're doing something against it. It's not that the parent wants to punch them. Now, unfortunately, you have real evil people, and this is one of the signs of real evil, is someone who loves sin, who loves to hurt people, who loves to destroy people, loves it. God does it out of justice. And when Catholics have to kill people, we do it out of a sense of justice. And the thing that does bring us joy is that we've at least opened up the world so goodwill people could not be oppressed by them. But it's not something we would have wanted to have to do. We would have said, boy, I wish I didn't have to kill you, but I'm going to have to now, because you're really disobeying God, and we're going to have to kill you. But it's not something you really want to do. Now, so right now at this time in heaven, when God created the angels, there was no reason for him to punish anybody. So Lucifer perceived this as a weakness. His darkened thought that God is weak increased his boldness, provoking him to attempt the rebellion. In this rebellion, one third of the angels contaminated themselves with pride and followed Lucifer. In so doing, they also lost God's grace, and their thoughts became darkened. Quote, "Pride goeth before the destruction, and the spirit is lifted up before the fall. It is better to be humbled with the meek than to divide spoils with the proud." Proverbs 16:18-19. The rebellious evil angels worshiped the creature instead of the creator by following Lucifer instead of God. Quote, "For professing themselves to be wise, they became fools who changed the truth of God into a lie and worship and serve the creature rather than the creator." Romans 1:22-25. All these dumb Romans that went after and said, Nero's divine, he's God. Idiots. I mean, by the natural law upon our heart and grace, that's the most unreasonable thing. But when people become stupid, because it's sinful, and I say really soon they become real stupid, because it's their own fault. So, the fallen angels followed Lucifer and rallied around him in his rebellion against God. Upon Lucifer's open rebellion, he was about to learn the hard way that God indeed is God, and that he is also an almighty and invincible God. Alas, the wrath of God is first felt by Lucifer and the falling angels. Quote, "For thou showest thy power when men or angels will not believe thee to be absolute in power, and thou convincest the boldness of them. Wisdom 12:17. No creature previous to this had ever experienced or felt the wrath of God. God invested the humble and faithful St. Michael the Archangel with power to cast the prideful and unfaithful Lucifer and his rebellious angels out of heaven. And we read from Apocalypse 12:7 and 9. And there was a great battle in heaven. Michael and his angels fought with the dragon, and the dragon fought with his angels, and they prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, the old serpent who is called the devil and Satan, who seduces the whole world, and he was cast onto the earth, and the angels were thrown down with him. End quote. Upon his fall, Lucifer was transformed into a hideous beast and became known as the devil, also known as Satan. Quote, we see Jesus talking about when he was in heaven with the Father before the incarnation, and he says, I saw Satan like lightning falling from heaven. Luke 10:18. Satan was banished from heaven forever to eternal punishment and torment for daring to test God. The fallen angels share the same punishment and became known as devils or demons. St. Peter warns rebellious men that they will suffer the same fate as the fallen angels if they do not repent and convert. Quote, for God spared not the angels that sinned, but delivered them drawn down by infernal ropes into the lower hell unto torments to be reserved unto judgment. 2 Peter 2:4. And he goes on to say, so how much do you think he's going to treat you any different for rebelling against him? The same punishment awaits you if you don't repent and convert, human beings. To summarize, Lucifer's root sin was pride that caused him to disobey God. At the time he first sinned against God, he believed and did not even doubt that God is God. Immediately after this sin, he lost God's grace and his mind became darkened and now doubted if God was really God or if he was really all-powerful. This led him to open rebellion against God. To Lucifer's great surprise, God's wrathful power was felt, never previously experienced by any creature. A lower angel who remained faithful, St. Michael the Archangel, who was infested with the power from God, defeated Lucifer and cast him out of heaven. This also served to humiliate Lucifer, who from one minute thinking he is like God, is defeated by an inferior angel. Immediately upon Lucifer's defeat, he then knew again that God truly is God and Almighty. He then believed, without any doubts, that God is God, just as he did before he sinned, but now to his great consternation and eternal pain. Lucifer and the fallen angels, against their wills, that hate God with an all-consuming and burning passion, must bow down before God. Quote, that in the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those that are in heaven, on earth, and under the earth. Philippians 2:10. So now we're back to it. He says, uh-oh, he really is God. Now for eternal. Too bad, you see. Too bad. That's when he says, that even now the devils believe, they believe in God, but they tremble. See? And now he has no doubts. But he tries to fool people on earth, though, you see. What does he tell people on earth? He tempts them by the same thing he had. He says, I'm God. Don't listen to that God, because he's not the real God. He's a weak God. He's a non-God. He's just some weak entity, or he doesn't exist at all, but I'm the true God. He does the same thing to people, but now he's totally, he knows totally different. He knows God really is God. So he comes up to these people and presents himself as if he is God, the true God, the creator, the supreme being, at least, the supreme being. And he tries to talk about the true God as not being the true God. He tries to put those same thoughts that he had that led to his fall into the minds of human beings. And that's what he's doing still today. In spite of the fact that he knows that the true God is God now. He's a loser. He's just lying now. He's just trying to drag more people down into his own misery. Now, being the object of Lucifer's fall was Mary. His lack of submission to her in obedience to God, his greatest pain is that he must also bow down before a creature, the Blessed Virgin Mary, which is more painful and odious to him than bowing before God. Lucifer would not willfully bow down to Mary in heaven, so now he must bow down to her against his will, which is his greatest pain. For it was given to Mary to crush the Satan's head. Genesis 3:15. I will put enmities between thee and the woman, and thy seed and her seed, and she shall crush thy head, and thou shalt lie in wait for her heel. Yes, Jesus demands that all creatures must also bow down to his mother, to his masterpiece, the Blessed Immaculate and Ever-Virgin Mary, and acknowledge her as his number one masterpiece. O prideful Protestants, sons of Lucifer, how long will you remain in rebellion against the God of the Catholic Church due to your root sin of pride that has darkened your mind? You say you believe in Jesus. Quote, the devils also believe and tremble, James 2:19. And like the devils, you refuse to obey, honor, and venerate the Blessed Immaculate and Ever-Virgin Mary, Mother of God, God's greatest masterpiece. What man would let another man in his house if he did not honor his mother? A man gets angrier when his mother is insulted than when his father is insulted, or he himself is insulted. It is the same thing with God and hence his mother, Mary. Not only is Mary God's mother, but also his daughter and his spouse. It is principally of these cruel persecutions of the devil, which shall go on increasing daily till the reign of the Antichrist, that we ought to understand that first and celebrated prediction and curse of God pronounced in the terrestrial paradise against the serpent. It is to our purpose to explain this here, for the glory of the Most Holy Virgin, for the salvation of her children, and for the confusion of the devil. I will put enmities between thee and the woman, and thy seed and her seed, and she shall crush thy head, and thou shalt lie in wait for her heel. Paragraph 52. God has never made and formed but one enmity, but it is an irreconcilable one, which shall endure and grow even to the end. It is between Mary, his worthy mother, and the devil. Between the children and the servants of the Blessed Virgin, and the children and tools of Lucifer, the most terrible of all the enemies which God has set up against the devil is his holy mother, Mary. He has inspired her, even since the days of the earthly paradise, though she existed then only in his idea, with so much hatred against that cursed enemy of God, that so much ingenuity in unveiling the malice of the ancient serpent, with so much power to conquer, to overthrow and to crush that proud and pious rebel, that he fears her not only more than all the angels and men, but in a sense more than God himself. Not that the anger, the hatred, and the power of God are not infinitely greater than those of the Blessed Virgin, for the perfections of Mary are limited, but first, because Satan, being proud, suffers infinitely more from being beaten, punished by a little and humble handmaid of God. And her humility humbles him more than the divine power. And secondly, because God has given Mary such great power against the devils, that as they have often obliged to confess in spite of themselves by the mouths of the possessed, they fear one of her sighs for a soul more than the prayers of all the saints, and one of her threats against them more than all other torments. What Lucifer has lost by pride, Mary has gained by humility. And that's the end of the reading for today. But you can see in that whole passage there how Mary is the one that really gets him the most aggravated. Because he blames Mary. Because Mary was the object that God used to test his faithfulness to God. Mary was the object, the reason why. He was really disobeying God. But God used Mary, and it was really ultimately just a test of humility. And that's why he's even angrier when Mary puts him down, because he knows Mary's not God, but she's got all the power from God. She's God's number one creature. His envy's more towards Mary than even God. You know, and people know that too, have families, even kids, you know, when you talk against the mother, it's even worse when you talk against the father, you know. There's little examples like that, but this goes even deeper, because it gets into the humility and the greatness that Mary was elevated above all the other creatures. And when he sees her, it reminds him of, he's like probably, it's because of you I fell, no, it's because you didn't obey God, that's why you fell. And you didn't listen to God. You know, you didn't obey me because God told you to obey me. You know, and then she demands obedience too, because that's her role. If Mary didn't demand that, then she wouldn't be fulfilling her role. So anyway, that's now you got the idea of how somebody can actually, even on earth, think he's Jesus Christ, or a Nero can think he's God. And because we always said, how can the guy be so stupid as that? Well, that's the ultimate of stupidity. Look at some of the things people do out there today. Look at all the stuff they do. Look what God's doing. He's warning people who have AIDS And now these women are dying from cervical cancer because of sexual promiscuity, because they're fornicating all over the place like a bunch of pigs. Pigs in heat, they're fornicating all over the place. And the real answer to this is not pills or drugs or vaccines. It's chastity. It's this marital, the relations between man and woman are reserved only for married spouses and only when they come together to have children. That's the end of it. You use it outside of that, you're committing sins. And these people are committing fornication all over the place, and they're looking for pills to be cured and vaccines when the cure is right at hand. Chastity. Stop fornicating, and you ain't going to get it. This is a great mercy from God, the cervical cancer and AIDS. It is a mercy. Because you and I don't even know how many people out there have stopped doing these things because they are afraid of it. And you don't know. It does convert people. It puts the fear of God onto people. God's telling people how odious fornication is to him. And that the answer is not to be found in vaccines or pills or medical cures. It's chastity. You're sinning against God. He put you under a curse. That's why all you people are dying from these sexual diseases that you're getting. Because you're worthy of it. You just stop doing it. It's irrational. It's unreasonable. It's disgusting. You denigrate yourself in the eyes of other people, and you're using one another's bodies in the most disgusting, horrible manner. It's not true respect or love for anybody when you do stuff like that. You're using one another as a mere flesh tool to gather some selfish little pleasure, which is not real pleasure anyway to those who really live in chaste. It's ugly. It's disgusting. And these people, God is trying to give them a chance here to look at how ugly this is by looking at the type of, and he gives them a slow death to give them a chance to repent on their deathbed. Look at how the AIDS people waste away in the cervical cancer. They have time to sit on their deathbed and think upon the reason why they're being punished by God. So it is a great act of mercy. And the problem is not with all, they want to come up with some magic medicine so they can take the pill and continue to fornicate, when the real problem is that you're breaking God's commandment. You're sinning against God. Just stop fornicating. That's the answer. And now they're trying to force everybody to take the vaccine against the cervical cancer. And they're trying to... So we can never condone something like this, because our Catholic children are taught not to fornicate. God forbid if they ever do, they're going to be put under the wrath of God and be punished, and they're going to confess their sins and amend their life, or they're cast out of the community. We don't accept that. We don't teach our kids to be whores. We don't say, hey, guess what? Take this vaccine. Now you can go out and whore around all you want. Never get sick. It encourages people even to go out and whore around. It's disgusting. And they're never going to be able to push that one over us. We're not going to talk about that. There's some vaccines that are good and some that are bad. We're not going to talk about that now. There's some about other things that people catch, like diphtheries or other diseases. But some of these vaccines come from aborted fetuses, and Catholics can never take those vaccines. But that's another issue. So anyway, that's enough for today. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.
This recording was produced by Mary's Little Remnant, 302 East Joffrey Street, Truth or Consequences, New Mexico, 87901-2878, and can be accessed on my website at www.johnthebaptist.us.